Anyway, I'm going to jump into the message. And it's the beginning of the year, and so one would like to come up with some fancy footwork and a couple of hashtags and nice quotes and something exciting. I don't want to say but, and the Lord just spoke to me through Scripture. And I'm at first like, Lord, this is quite a challenging word as we kick off the year. But the Lord just kept on tugging on my heart. And so we're going to share on that briefly this afternoon. Tonight's message is entitled, Real Kingdom Living. Who of you are interested in real kingdom living? Hallelujah. Do you know what it means, Albert? Do you know what it means? Great. Just stick with me. Let's keep that amen going. So last year we ended off with joy. We're going to continue in challenging one another to pursue joy. I think Stephen prayed about it in intercession. So don't park that theme. Keep on pursuing real, godly, biblical joy. And then just as a prophetic vision, we're a visionary church and we love vision. I just didn't sense a release that we just pop onto a new theme. And so we're going to stay grounded in Arise, Shine and Isaiah 60. I will break something open in that in due course. So that is still what we believe the Lord is saying to our church, to be a lighthouse, to arise and to shine and to make Christ shine into this area and the areas where we live, where we work, and where we have our being. And then just lastly, as an intro, two words that really came up in prayer as I seek the Lord for the beginning of this year. He said to be favor and fruitfulness, and it sounds kind of nice. We all don't always know what it means, but I really believe it's a season and time, and I've seen it in our life, that the Lord really wants to give us His favor, not a worldly, but His favor. Sometimes that equates to blessing, but He wants to give us favor. For His favor surrounds us like a shield, and He wants to make us fruitful. And I know we've been praying this week that we will have good seed beds. We will have good, soft hearts, as we've just heard. Good ground, that when we receive the Word of God, Scripture into our lives, we will bear much fruit. Let's quickly pray. Jesus, please have your way. Jesus, will you, through your Spirit, please speak to us as your people? Will you lead us, and will you build your church in your way, not the ways of man, so that God may be glorified? And the fruit will be eternal and everlasting in all of our lives. Lord, may the enemy not snatch anybody. Thank you, Jesus. You said that I've not lost anyone that you've given me, Father. Jesus, thank you that you will not lose any one of us this year. And in fact, God, I pray that you will add to what you have granted Jesus in this place. But we put our trust in Jesus and Jesus alone. We thank you, Lord, tonight that your word will cut where it needs to cut. It will encourage where it needs to encourage. It will germinate and will bless and it will bear fruit in all of our lives in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, thank you for helping us. Amen. So they sometimes say that a preacher only has one sermon. Sorry. And I guess to a certain degree it's kind of true sometimes because it's a life story. It's the testimony of God through a life. As long as it's scriptural, it's just packaged in different ways. And so some of these scriptures would definitely have heard me share on before. That's why, again, I said to the Lord, really, Lord? But I just kept feeling this tugging that the Lord wants to just invite us into real kingdom living again. And a couple of challenging things that Jesus said, but also the beautiful encouragement through Scripture, through Christ, and through the Holy Spirit for this year. And so a word that Sam actually shared with me, one thing that really stood out was the word simplicity. And so we're going to look at Scripture, allow it to talk to us. Some things that we as a church have already looked at before, unless you knew. And then say, Lord, thank you for simplicity, but also the power of gospel living so that we will have lives that reflect the kingdom of God. Might not have it instantly, but as we allow the word, as we allow these truths to work in us, we can set ourselves up in the Lord for a successful year. Who would like that? So who wants a successful, now the charismatic part of us can come out, who wants a successful, supernatural, glorious, stunning 2025? I want to say that again. Who wants a successful, glorious, supernatural 2025? Who wants to be the best you? Come on, hashtag that thing. Who wants to be the best you? Do you want to know how? You can be the best you and have a successful, supernatural, glorious, amazing 2025. Petri, do you want to know? You can't sleep. Well, let me tell you how. This is how. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Him. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Him. True success, true glory, the supernatural power and love of a fruitful, godly life lies in this. Amongst other things as well, but especially tonight, I believe, it lies within the grace of this, that we'll be a people able to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow Him. Now, please don't switch off there, because I believe there's a grace for this in all of our lives, and we've never read a command that is impossible by the grace of God, right? When the Lord commands something, is it possible? Yes. So is it possible to deny yourself this year? Is it possible to pick up your personal cross this year? Not everybody else's, but yours this year. Is it possible? And is it possible to truly follow Jesus in spite of the culture in which we live in? Cool. I've got a couple of yeses. That's great. So we're going to jump into Scripture. As you know, some of the things we've touched on before, some of it might be new to you, but allow the Word to speak with the help of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to look at Peter a bit. Who knows Peter from Scripture? What did he stand out for you? Just quickly, who knows Peter? What passion? Yes, absolutely. Zeal. Right? A doer, yes. What stands out in Peter's life for any of you guys? He's an apostle, yes. Anybody? What stood out? He was impulsive, yes. Okay. An impulsive apostle. It's a dangerous animal. What stood out in Peter's life for you? He was very, very much in love with Jesus, yes. He had faith to walk on water. Yes. He said, pick me. Who here tonight shouts out, Lord, pick me? You're like, can I read the fine print first? He's also the one that what? Denied Christ 3 times. So zealous. So when he got it wrong, he really got it wrong. But when he got it right, it was beautiful. But let's allow the Word, and we're going to slowly but surely, not too slowly, work through Matthew 16, 13 to 27, bit by bit, and just break it open. Because what? We want to be a people that have real kingdom lives, successful lives, zealous, supernatural, beautiful, fruit-bearing lives. But we know that we are called to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow Jesus truly. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, who do people say that the Son of God is? The Son of Man is. Apologies. And they said, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But you, He asked them, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responded, Simon, son of Jonah, you are blessed. Here's that beautiful word. You are blessed because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. So let's just stop quickly there. For us, we know the Scripture by now. We know who Jesus was. But here's a people group that have been waiting 100 or hundreds of years for the Messiah to come. And now He's amongst them, but He's not looking anything alike what they expected. And yet, supernaturally, Peter has the grace of God given to him to acknowledge, to see Jesus and say, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God, the Son of Man. You are Jesus. And so he has this moment. And here's the thing. Each and every soul under the sun that has ever lived and will ever live until Jesus comes are going to get confronted by this one question. Who is this guy? Is he the Son of the living God? Have you made up your mind about that, by the way? Let's quickly stop there. I think it's important. Do you believe He's the Son of the living God? By the show of hands, I think it's a good way to start the year. Hallelujah. A couple of saved folks in the house. Sure. But for us, it's so common cause by now, but it is such an important question because everything flows from there, and you'll see now what I mean by that. We need to see Him and acknowledge Him, but it doesn't stop there. Verse 18, and I also say to you, you are Peter. That means Petros in Greek. It's called rock. You know this by now. And on this rock I will build my church, and the forces of Hades, that's hell, will not overpower it. So it's a pretty big deal spiritually. You acknowledge me as Jesus, the Son of God. But now as you see me, Peter, what I do is, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I tell you who you are, and you are a rock. Not a rock star. Don't get it wrong. But you're a rock, a foundation upon which I will build my church. So what do we see there? We see that identity is key. I've said this before, don't have time to go into the depth of it, but it's important to look yourself in the mirror of Scripture and say, Lord, who am I? So firstly, you need to know who Christ is, and we say we do. Secondly, has Christ revealed to you who you are by the show of hands? Do you know who you are? Guys, I see just a couple of hands. Do you know who you are? It's an important question because that's the kind of questioning, by the way, the enemy had in Matthew 3 and 4. In the wilderness to Jesus, he said, if you are the Son of God. So if his identity was questioned, yours will be questioned as well. I've said this before, but it's important because culture, people, the flesh, and definitely enemy will constantly ask you, who are you? Who are you? So identity is important. And we know now as we look at this that two things are important. You need to see Christ for who he is, and supernaturally Christ will then reveal to you who you are. He gave me my new name 20 years ago when I got saved. Somebody prophesied over me. Yes, from Scripture I know I'm a son of God. Most important. But then what am I called for and who am I in the Lord? That's important. And again, I want to just say, I didn't realize that so many of us might have a bit of a struggle with this, but you need to know what Christ says about your identity. Not people, not your family line, not your surname, not the color of your skin or the tongue that you speak. No, none of that. What does Jesus say who you are? That's important. But let's move on. We don't have too much time. It actually gets better. Then in verse 19, Jesus goes to say, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Who likes the keys of a new vehicle or their dad giving them the car's keys? Who likes that? Who liked that in past tense for those that are a bit older? Yes, we do. It's lacquer when he gives us keys. How cool is this that Jesus says to him, Peter, hey, I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. It's a pretty big deal. It's not like a Uno or a Fola or a beat up skedonk. No, it is the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth is already bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth is already loosed in heaven. And he gave his disciples orders not to tell anyone that he is the Messiah. So we see two things is important. Please listen up. You need to know who Jesus is. Through that, he will reveal to you who you are. Once you know that, identity is important because people without identity with keys are dangerous. Keys in the hands of those who do not know who they are dangerous. But luckily, the Lord is good. So he says, know who you are. Then I give you the keys. I give you the spiritual insight to rule and reign with Christ in heavenly places. And then he goes on. And there's a bit of a but after that foundation. Let's read verse 21. From then on, Jesus began to point out to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things. That sounds exciting, right? Suffer many things. From the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed and be raised on the third day. Then Peter, you know, that jealous, beautiful, awesome guy. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. And I love these three words. Oh no, Lord. Have the Lord ever spoken to you and you're like, oh no, Lord. Like, don't be silly. Come on. He pulls Jesus aside and like, hey, let the rock speak to you. My friend, let me tell you a thing. Oh no, Lord. This will never happen to you. So he becomes the rock. Peter, he sees Jesus, he knows who he is. Jesus forewarns him about Jesus' own suffering, and then something like malfunctions in his mind, and he's like, this beautiful, awesome kingdom story kind of just gone a bit weird. Let me just help you with the narrative, Jesus. It will never happen to you, Jesus. I don't think that's a cool thing to do. You see, he gets confronted with the fullness of the kingdom story. Peter gets confronted with the fullness of the kingdom story. And maybe today, maybe in this year, we again need to be confronted by the fullness of the kingdom story. Will you allow the fullness of the kingdom story just to work into all of the areas of your heart again? Will you? Amen. Let's go to verse 23. But he turned and told Peter. So Peter pulls him aside and he's like, no, I'm pulling you aside, young man. And he says to him, get ye behind me, Satan. Get ye behind me, Satan. Means adversary, opponent. You are an offense to me. Because you are not thinking about God's concern, but man's. Who's ever heard Jesus say to you, you are an offense to Jesus? It's kind of intense. Hey, imagine Jesus rebuking you and saying, you are an offense to me because you're thinking the way that men think. You're not thinking about the things of God. So the question is very simple. What will we be concerned with in 2025? What will we be concerned with? You see, poor old Peter, he has this revelation given to him by grace because it's Father's blessing, right? He sees this is the Messiah. From there, Christ reveals to him who he is. Beautiful foundation. He says, and in fact, here's the keys. Now he's like, whoa, things are happening. But then he gets confronted by the full kingdom story of suffering and stuff like that. He rebukes Jesus, and all of a sudden, in that moment, the Lord says to him, you are an opponent and an adversary to me. Because you're not thinking the things of my Father, you are thinking the things of man. So me, Retief, needs to be confronted by Scripture, saying, Lord, I allow you in. Am I busy with the concerns of God, eternal concerns, the Father's business, or am I busy with the concerns of man? I'm not saying we can't live, move, and have our being and do the day-to-day, but ultimately, am I plotting out my life and my year with the concerns of man or the concerns of God? It's very simple. Am I an adversary, an opponent, or am I a rock as Peter, where upon Jesus is building his church? It's a battle in the heart. It's not something man can do. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to help us with these things. For the invitation, like with Peter, is easy. Identity, authority. Identity of Christ in me, and then authority. Boom. But now it goes a bit further. The concerns of Retief or the concerns of God? Real kingdom living is living for His heart and His concerns. Where are we? It's not a hard question, but if you need to have an honest reflection, say, Lord, no condemnation, by the way, is welcome in this place. Conviction is. Because out of conviction, we get empowered and we grow. Hallelujah. So, Lord, thank you, Holy Spirit, for conviction. But, Lord, am I busy with the concerns of God or man? Am I part of the rock or an adversary? You see, our key is pursuing God's concern. Let's move on. Let's move on in Matthew 16, verse 24. The Lord says, here's the key. This is how you can live. Not only from not only in identity, from authority, but yes, how you can be part of His church plan and His building plan. It is pursuing God's concern by taking up your cross. Then Jesus said to His disciples, if anyone wants to follow me or come with me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. He must deny himself, take up his cross and follow him. How does that sound to you? Any honest reflection? How does that sound to you? Tough. Yeah. It sounds tough at first. Hold on. Don't switch off now because I believe there's so much grace packed in Scripture for us, and I know the Lord will help us. Remember what He asks us to do, He will also empower us to do. Anybody else, if you hear take up your cross, deny yourself and follow Him. What do you hear? Petri, what do you hear? Surrender? Suffering? But essentially with those two things, for those listening to the recording, you get to go where life is. I mean, just stop there because it's good. I think Petri, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, just gave some of us a bit of hope. Because through that, you will go where life is. Hallelujah. That's where we want to be. Real kingdom living. He's on the other side of some things that look scary, but are not that scary. You see, we don't only want to know about Him, we want to know Him. One day when we stand before Him, He's not going to say, "Depart from me, I do not know you." He's going to say, "Hey, welkom, lekker, uiteindelijk, jy's hier. Kom, spandeer die ewigheid in my. Come, join me for eternity." Two things we know by now. We need to deny ourselves and take up our cross. Guys, this is not the only thing written in Scripture, but it is an important one which we cannot skip over. There's beautiful other stuff like joy and all the other beautiful flowery things, colorful things as well. But these are ones we need to also confront. Let's move on to verse 25. "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life because of me will find it." It is the most powerful scripture. It is the most powerful scripture. It's such a safety net. It's such a beautiful truth. "For he who loses his life for me will find life." Petri said that. "What will it benefit a man if he gains the whole world yet loses his life? Or what will a man give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and he will reward each one according to what he has done." So what you actually do matters. Through grace, by His help, righteousness in Jesus. But this is so my heart, and it captivates my heart when reading these things. But I want to just quickly chat with you. What does it mean to try to save your life and then lose it? What does it mean to lose your life for Him? Remember the "for Him" and find it. What does saving your life look like in our culture? Quickly, we need to be sharp. We don't have much time. What does trying to save my life mean if worked out in the flesh? Exactly what we see there in Scripture. What does it mean to try to save my life? A big pension fund. Cool? Mammon, if you serve Mammon. Look here, this is a safe space, but we need to have honest conversations, right? Making a name for yourself. That is trying to save your life. Yes, the fear of man, or then the pride of life said in another way. So, big pension fund we've got, making a name for yourself. Financial stability. Please read whatever we say within context of Scripture, but we need to have these honest conversations about what does it equate to in culture to try to save your life. Comfort. Massive thing. Comfort. To be comfortable. Annelise, are you always comfortable on a Monday night? Not at all. I'm not always comfortable in ministry. In fact, I'm sometimes very, very often very uncomfortable in ministry. Kobus, are you very comfortable in ministry? By the way, we all are. Are you? You had fun over December, right? He can tell you the story. What does it mean to save your life if we look at culture? Look at and care for me, myself, and I. And not go over those boundaries, right? Anybody else? Come on, shoot. There's lots of ways. We look at culture, we're not judging, we're just saying, hey, we're having an honest conversation because we're grappling with a big time scripture here. Because we want to end up where Petri said, when he said that it like hit me here, we want to go where life is. Real kingdom living. So what does it mean to save your life? Try to save your life, yes. Conform to the world, yes. Not being able to stick out your neck. If people start spewing nonsense, trying to push it on your children and upon culture about who knows what, not being able to say, hey, no, the Scripture, my Father, my God says the following. That's a way. Yes. always being in control. That's a good one. Save my life, not rocking the boat, always being in control, not taking risks, not surrendering, a word that came out earlier. How else can we try to save our life? Never be vulnerable. That's a good, that's a typical Demi, but brilliant answer. And amen. Because that's where grace and growth comes. People pleasing. That's a way to save your life. How do we lose our lives? Let's flip it over. For those who try to save their lives will lose it. That's the irony of the flesh. That's the irony of culture. Sorry, Sam, I'll be with you now. But that's the irony. It says, culture explains to you, this is the way in which you will be safe and live forever. Yet you lose yourself. You lose your life. Not only eternally, but in this life. And yet the one that is such, looks like so much risk, it's counterintuitive. It's not comfortable for the flesh. At the end of that, you find Christ and fullness of life. Sorry, all of the above. So how do we lose our lives for Him? I want us just to quickly make it practical. Serving, yes. Submission, yes. Surrender, yes. Reading the Word. Reading the Word more than I scroll. Reading the Word more than I scroll, right? Self-control. How else can I lose my life for Him? Obedience. Yes. Seeking His righteousness. Intimacy. Prayer and supplications. Yes, we get it. Leaving my dreams for His. Can that be? Saying no to an opportunity that's so good for me and benefit me, but it's not beneficial to the kingdom. There are many other things, but I want us just to grapple with those things as well. Moving on quickly, how do I pick up my cross? I think it obviously ties in with what we've just chatted. Do you believe that if you follow Jesus, there is also a cross for you? Is Albert's cross necessarily Zohar's cross in Jesus? No. But Zohar needs to pick up his cross just as much as Albert needs to pick up his cross so that the body can function in love and grace. Is there a cross that is not of the Lord? Is there a cross that's not of the Lord? Yes, lots of them. Dead religion. If we start flogging ourselves to become more righteous, if we start doing things to please God in a way that is not scriptural and not in Jesus and not in the Spirit, it is dead. Often people carry crosses of deception. And so intimacy, the Word, and a living godly body is necessary to help us so that we don't carry a cross all of our life and we end up thinking, oh man, that was a cult or a sect. I had a couple of wrong crosses on my back. Just as much as culture of the day can be wrong crosses, so much can religion become wrong crosses. Sorry, are we going a bit wide now? But it's important. That's why Scripture is needed in our lives. That is why the Holy Spirit is needed in our lives, so that I can carry the cross that is there for me. But it's sacrificial. I need to pick it up. And if I don't pick it up, I need a buddy to tell me, hey man, you're not picking up your cross. You're trying to save your life. You're not picking up your cross. You know what? Not only will you suffer, your children will suffer, and the body of Christ is suffering. Yes, you've got identity. Yes, you know Jesus. You've got the foundation of authority, but you are struggling to follow Jesus, of picking up your cross and following Him. You're going to fall short of attaining life. Let's quickly look at that following slide, because I believe as I was running this morning, I just believe that through this whole scripture, I believe there's a progression. There's a beautiful progression. I don't like formulas, but I do believe in the scripture we get a bit of a progression of where real kingdom living and fruitfulness will end up in. Jesus is at the bottom. Praise God. You need to know who He is. You need to believe in Him and with an active faith. And as you have an active faith in Him, He, through intimacy, will show you who you are. Nobody can give that to you. No pastor, no teacher, no mom and dad. Yes, they can add bits. They can help facilitate. But Jesus needs to show you who you are. Authority comes with that. And He says, upon this bedrock, I build a church. So church is part of the picture. His church that He is building is part of the picture. And upon that, he says, okay, now that this is settled, you need to follow me daily. Deny yourself, take up your cross. Lose your life as we see it in the world, as we think with the carnal flesh. And he says that as you attain to spiritual life in me, losing your life for my sake, but gaining real life, fulfillment, kingdom living, and fruitfulness will come. You can go test it, but I just thought, I really do see that progression in this. In Galatians 2:20, in the next slide, Paul says the following, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So Paul just echoes this truth. We are called to live not for ourselves. You know what? It's still a bit holiday-ish. Tomorrow people go back to work, go to school. It's a beautiful sunny day. You had to deny your flesh this afternoon to be sitting here. Some of you might be still regretting it, and I do apologize for that. If the case, I pray to God that He will work in our hearts. But you had to deny yourself this afternoon and say, according to Scripture, we need to gather together. I need to grow as a disciple. I need to be equipped for the work of the ministry, Ephesians. I want to be not only receiving, but there's people that need me at church. You denied yourself, you picked up your cross, and here you are. I pray that some seeds will fall in good ground and this will produce fruit in your life. Because from this sacrifice, life can come. Not only for you, but for your loved ones as well. So this is all pretty challenging. Denying yourself. Because the world says, fight for yourself. Take what is yours. Climb the corporate ladder. Look out for yourself. Step on other people. They don't say it aloud, but they kind of do. Make sure your bank balance is fine, etc., etc., etc. But yet the Lord says, no, deny yourself, lay down your life, look at Scripture, look at these stories of the early church, look how they did it, look how they live, and allow me to personally speak to you. Because the law upon my heart is not the law upon Zohar's heart. My cross is not his. The way in which I had to deny myself and walk away from my legal career is not the way in which Rolf is pursuing the Lord with his legal career. He's got his cross and I had mine. But he needs to be faithful to find life and I had to be faithful to find life. Do we get that? But we need each other to speak into it. But here's the thing, as we end off, why on earth would we do that? Why on earth would we lose our life to find it? Why would you do it? Why would you do it, guys? Why would you lose your life? He is worth it. He is worth it. You can't fact that. You don't have to, by the way. Please. Yeah, we try not to fact stuff. But the people that can honestly lose their life to find it are those that know that He is truly worth it. And unless you don't know that, don't lose it yet. I want to say that to you boldly. Unless you don't know that yet, don't lose it yet. We don't have to put the cart before the horses in the kingdom. He's a God of heart. I realized the other day, and this is shocking, and it's confusing, and I'm grappling with it, but God is so not a manipulator that some people are going to hell. I'm going to say that again. He is so not a manipulator that some people are actually going to hell. He's such a truthful, honest, just God. A loving God. He will not manipulate you into anything. But we will stand before Him one day. And He would have been 100% just. He will not manipulate you into losing your life, into forsaking a career, or to letting go of relationships, of things, of finance. He will not manipulate you into that. That is not my dad. But He invites you and He invites me. He invites you and He invites me. Will you deny? Will you pick up your cross this year? Do you pursue life and the fullness of the kingdom? I believe it's important to know that firstly, is my heart captured and captivated by Him? and Matthew 13, a couple of verses prior to what we've been looking at, gripped my heart 20 years ago, and I need to make sure that it grips my heart tonight again. Matthew 13, 44 says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field." It's a treasure and it's hidden. Not everybody knows. We get that, right? "Which a man found and covered up, then in his joy," not manipulated, "in his joy, he knew the worth of that treasure. In his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." I believe that's finding Jesus truly. Seeing his worth truly, encountering him truly, coming back to your true first love again, and realizing that he's worth more than anything else. Why would I forsake or deny myself and pick up my cross? Why would I choose to do it again and again and again? Only if my heart is captivated by the truth that he is so worthy and I know him intimately. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, other translation says, the pearl of great price, the pearl of great price, went and sold all he had, all the things he tried to save his life with, he gave it all away and bought it for the pearl of great price, for the great treasure, and I believe that is Jesus Christ. So before we challenge ourselves with scripture saying, may we be a people to deny ourselves this year, pick up our cross and truly follow him in intimacy, because we have identity and authority. Before all of that, we need to say, Jesus, will you assure that our hearts are caught afresh to know who you are and how valuable you are, and that nothing compares and everything else grows slowly dim compared to your glory. Will you stand with me, please? Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you set us up for this year, not the way that the world wants to set us up, not the way that my carnality and my own emotions and things want to set me up. But in humility, we come, Lord, and say, please come and tug on our hearts through your word. Tug on our hearts through your Holy Spirit, and ensure that we again are reminded, me firstly, again are reminded of who you are. Lord, if I'm not seeing, help me to see again. If you want the Lord just to again be the pearl of great price, the treasure hidden, that you will forsake all to go by that ground to find him as your eternal treasure. If you want to just bring your heart back to that place of first love, or then just to see again and realize again who he is, if that is you and you would like to pray, just raise your hand nice and high. Think about it before you do. But say, Lord, this is me. I want to know that you are, and I want to realize and see again that you are the pearl of great price, the treasure. Captivate my heart like way back when I got saved, Lord, where I would give away everything and anything, forsake everything man could offer me because I knew you. Lord, thank you for these hands. I pray with them as they say yes in their heart, that you will truly show us again who you are, that we'll have encounters with you, that scripture will speak to us, that you will captivate every part of our softened hearts, as Demi so beautifully prayed, so that it will belong to you and you alone and not to the world. We thank you for that. Then, Lord, it is easy, I believe, with joy to deny ourselves, to say yes every Sunday, every Wednesday, every morning, early, getting up, praying, seeking your face, laying down our lives, sharing, giving agape love, reaching out, going to the nations, discipling people. Then all of the denying part and the cross part becomes so much more easy. And if you want the Holy Spirit just simply to help you to deny yourself and to remember this question daily, and to pick up your cross, not the Retief's cross, not Pity's cross, but your cross daily. If that is you, just raise your hand that we can pray. Thank you, Lord, for these hands. Willing to say, Lord, remind me and then empower me and help me, Holy Spirit, to when you call, not anything else, not schuldgevoelens, not religion, dead religion, but when you call Lord to deny ourselves, pick up our cross and follow you. And then lastly, as a church, Lord, we come and do that. And we ask, Lord, that we will be a people of real kingdom living. That this will not be just a mere message, but that we will daily remember as a church community, through intimacy, and because our hearts are already full, because we are already so loved, and we are all reminded of your great value, Lord, that you will help us then to just deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow you. Thank you for fruitfulness, thank you for favor, and thank you for your grace upon us as a church this year. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.